This is the Home Tech Podcast, the Windows Phone Special Edition, recorded on May 20th, 2011. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live and commercial-free from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and posted each week with world-class show notes out at theAverageGuy.tv. You can contact me or the show at podcast@theAverageGuy.tv. Track me down on Twitter. That's just at Jay Collison, or follow the new show schedule Twitter account at The Average Guy TV. We also have all the automatic links to download, stream the audio podcast to iTunes, Zune, Stitcher, and many of the other podcatchers, and a couple new ones that we'll talk about here in the show, right on the front page of TheAverageGuy.tv. And now you can get the show live almost instantly after it's done out on YouTube. Just go out to youtube.com/user/TheAverageGuyTV. And you can see all the shows we've been posting. This show, will as soon as it's done, it's transcoded and immediately out and available on YouTube. Kind of cool. We've been working that for the last couple weeks, and actually I've been getting a lot of hits from it. So some good stuff. If you're out there on YouTube, Google+, Facebook, you can find us there just by searching The Average Guy Podcast. Leave some comments, likes, votes, plus ones. You know all that crap that goes on with social media. That's always very helpful. All right, what we're trying to achieve today, it's a Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon in the Central Time Zone, and I just recently was sent for a demonstration, or for demo purposes, this Lumia 800, and came straight from Nokia. Actually, came from the UK. They shipped it from me. Came very quick via DHL International, which was I was pretty surprised. And I thought to myself, hey, I should write some articles about this. And then I thought, hey, wait a minute, podcasting's a lot easier. Why don't we just set up some podcasts and just get it done that way? So I contacted everybody I knew that owned a Windows phone, and even some that don't, and said, hey, would you guys join me for a podcast? And this is the advent. We're going to try to do a couple of these over the next week or two, or as long as they let me keep this phone. My plan is just to keep it until they tell me I have to send it back. And we'll just do a couple of these as we cover Windows Phone 7. So let me introduce the cast of characters, of course, with us, and a big Windows Phone 7 guy has been on it, I think, since the very beginning, and our friend from St. Louis, Chris Lux. Chris, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing just great. Having a good weekend so far, and enjoying kind of just relaxing this Sunday and chatting about Windows Phone and technology in general.
Yeah, you've been on the podcast several times and have talked about Windows Phone. You're the first guy I thought of.
I try not to be too big of a fanboy, but I do like it. So
yeah, it's good. It's good. And then the other fanboy, of course, in our community is Tim Black. We had Tim on the podcast earlier, just could not overcome his bandwidth issues. And Tim, we had an idea. We thought maybe you could just go to McDonald's and plug in and just carry all your gear down there and get their Wi-Fi. So, Tim, thanks for trying. And then somebody I didn't think of right away, and I guess I should have, and that's Greg Welsh. Greg, you're a Windows Phone user, too. How long have you had your phone?
Oh, easily a year and a half, let's say.
Okay. So maybe one of the first as well?
Yeah, it was the first one that I guess T-Mobile put out in HD2, and I did jump on that one. But as soon as HD7 hit, that one went out, and because 7, we were able to jump into 7.5 and stuff. So
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you'll get plenty of chances to talk about that. Yeah. I know you and Chris have the exact same phones. Is that
almost
right?
Yeah. Okay. Almost. I have the HD7S.
Oh, okay.
Is S
you're AT&T
for
then?
Speed?
I don't know what the S stands for. It's just the next version. I'm on AT&T, and I think they just released the same thing and put an S on it. I don't know what the difference is.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to compare.
Very good. And then I sent a note out to Mike Howard and said, hey, Mike, you want to join us for this Windows Phone discussion? He's here to be fair and balanced. From JPEG to RAW, Mike Howard. Mike, how are you?
Fine. And I should say that I've never used the Windows Phone, so you got to take my thoughts with that in mind. I am a Microsoft fan.
Yeah.
Well,
I know you've been a little critical of the new Metro UI and the UI that's kind of on the phone. So I just thought it'd be nice to have you kind of a balance. You could ask some good questions. You and I are both Android full-time users.
Yes.
And Chris and Greg are full-time Windows Phone users. And so, the intent here is not to smash one or the other, but just have an open discussion around where Windows Phone has gone. It's been there a year and a half or so now, and I just like to get some open conversation. At the same time, look at this Lumia, because it's not the Lumia 900. A couple folks have asked me about that. It's the 800, which is a smaller version. I'm going to throw a screenshot up of that so folks can see that. And here's kind of the specs on it. It is they say it's a seamless design. It's 3.7 inch AMOLED clear black glass touchscreen display. It is a nice display. It's a little bit larger if you hold it up to I've got a screen here. Let me turn.
Yeah, I don't see the CPU specs.
They're all single core. Almost all Windows phones are single core at this point because the operating system runs smoothly on a single core.
Yeah, and it is single core. 3.7 megapixel camera, about a 5-ounce phone, very light, very fits in your pocket really well, which is what's kind of important to me. From I do carry around the phone I am carrying is an Android Samsung Galaxy S2, which is a fairly large phone by contrast. When you hold the two up, I should have brought that one down. You can see here holding this in my hand. Oh, I got to turn off the screen sharing to make that work. You can kind of see the size of it in comparison to my hand. A good size and a good size screen. Very fast and responsive for me it has been. One of the things I was most impressed about, a couple of the things that right off the bat I fired it up and it wanted a SIM card. And I had said, I'm not going to go. I'd have to go to AT&T or Verizon here in town and beg for a SIM card, and they're probably going to want to charge me for it. And I'm just going to have the phone a couple weeks. So I thought, I'm not going to mess with it. And I was able to get right past the SIM activation and actually fire up the phone on Wi-Fi. And it has been a great little Wi-Fi phone. It doesn't require it absolutely does not force you to have kind of some kind of cell service to work, and so it's been working well, and it's been working on Wi-Fi. So that's just full disclosure. I don't have any cell service with it, nor do I intend to make phone calls. But I do intend to keep it in my pocket with me full time over the course of the week, and I'm going to try and use it instead of my other phone. So I have my phone just for phone calls that I'll need, texts and stuff like that. But the intent is to carry around the phone.
So you can't take your SIM card out of your phone and put it in that one?
We don't. The Sprint does not have SIM cards.
Oh, okay.
The CDMA. So am I getting that right? Is it CDMA? Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it does not require a SIM. So I don't have. I actually pulled out the Palm Pre and I thought, oh, good, maybe there's a SIM card in there. And then I Googled that and they're like, no, Sprint. Sprint phones on CDMA don't require SIM cards. So, Chris, why don't you talk? So this is you went with the, what's your phone again? What do you have?
The HTC HD7S.
And were the Nokia phones out when you were making? Okay. And so, how much have you looked into these at all? And do you have if you were going to make a change now and get another phone, what would you lean towards?
The Lumia 900. It's definitely one that I'm interested in, just kind of from a form and function standpoint. It's definitely a little bit of sleeker design. I don't know if the same problems are occurring for Greg or not, but there's a few quality issues with the HTC line. All of my little chromed buttons are kind of peeling, and so I have kind of weird red rusty looking buttons instead, and the chrome that overlays some of the other parts is kind of flaking a little bit. Not a huge issue, but it's just something aesthetically that I'm not a huge fan of. That and Nokia is doing some really cool stuff where they're building in services just for their Lumia lines. A lot of great Windows Phone apps that are really kind of designed only for their phones. And so, yeah, definitely. If I could go out today and pay a small fee to upgrade to the Lumia 900, I would. But I'm still under contract, and it would be like $400, which is not an option for me to moment.
I did look up the Lumia 800 on Amazon, about $438 unlocked. If I were to purchase that now. So.
But again, if you're starting a new plan or upgrading in cycle, you can get these things from anywhere from $100 down to zero, depending on where you look for it. So
when's your upgrade cycle?
January. Actually, that'll be right around when Windows 8 stuff's coming out, and hopefully Nokia will have something awesome up their sleeves there. I'd even be happy if it was the same body with the Windows Phone 8 built into it, because I do think the Lumia 900 line is really an interesting phone concept. So.
And the 9 has a larger screen overall, right? It's like 4.8.
I think the phones we have, the HTC phones, have really large screens, and they look great. Yeah.
4.3, I think it is.
Yeah.
For the Lumia 900 or for your phones?
Both.
Or for ours.
Okay. And Greg, what's been your experience with your phone?
As far as the phone itself, it's been wonderful. You know, we had some of those issues where the keyboard would go away, you know, software issues, and they solved it on me. I've heard a lot of people not have being able to get around that with the latest patches, but as far as, you know, once they did that, that was the only glitch I had software-wise. The hardware, in a year and a half, I've abused it pretty good. My volume button, you know, it doesn't spring back, that sort of thing. But as far as its usability, I'm tickled pink. I mean, I just was putting movies on it yesterday, you know, downsizing them and whatnot, and was trying to catch up before I went and saw Avengers, you know. So I'm sitting there watching it, you know, and just really nice. You know, like I said, the 4.3-inch screen is really awesome. The sad part is I'm with T-Mobile, and the only thing they offer us right now is the radar, the 4G, and that's a smaller screen. And actually, I think the processor is even a little lower, or maybe it's the memory capacity. But so I'm kind of stuck. I'm hoping that in October, or whenever the Windows 8 comes out, that, you know, we get something similar to the HD 7.
When are you up for?
I'm up in June, so next month.
So you're coming close.
Yeah, I still can't leave. I've got the plan contract until next October, but phone full upgrade thing is next month. So I'll put up with. There's the only other thing that went off hardware was about 2 weeks ago. The Bluetooth decided to just up and quit. I had my GPS in the car. Not that the phone one works fantastic, but the one to connect to the car's GPS for the real estate and stuff. And then I had my BlueAnt earpiece, and it all worked great. Got in the car on a Monday morning and nothing worked. And yet I can connect both those devices to my wife's HD7. Works beautiful. And so it just decided to quit in my phone. I had the little case to it, you know, the like a protector. So I didn't have the issues that Chris had with the silver coming off. They're still great shape. It's just, I guess I'm a little heavy on the fingers. Oh, yeah.
It's all
rusty. And you see a lot of those on eBay, you know, that have been a lot of peeling and the corners dropped, but I put that rubber spec case on it pretty much the day I got it, so the phone looks brand new.
Did it come with the case?
No, it was like $20 at T-Mobile, and
This came. All right, so here's the box. That's your typical, you know, cell phone box. But
yeah.
In it came really packaged really well, a lot like the iPhone in a lot of ways. And in it came a standard case with it. I mean, it was a rubberized case that goes over it. I put it on right away.
I just found it to be a total necessity. I mean, and the only bummer was, you know, you go to get a belt holder, and it wouldn't work with that case.
Yeah.
And so up until lately, I found one nice leather one that it does slip into. But this was actually for my GPS, so I just bought a second one.
Okay.
But yeah.
So are you going to take it back in and get it fixed, or is it under warranty, or do you have to pay?
No, it's been a year and a half, so I'm kind of done. But it's totally functioning, beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
No qualms. So, you know, yeah, I can't text and drive anymore, so.
Well, maybe that's not such a bad thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or not text. I mean, you know, talk and drive.
Oh, so. Yeah. So GPS is out. No. The Bluetooth.
But I can use. Yeah, the Bluetooth is out. But GPS on the phone? By the way, that Bing's GPS is phenomenal in my situation. I use it actually for real estate. I mean, I'll be in the car with a client and say, you know, I need to, you know, I'll punch in the address, and it goes. And so I can punch in 3 or 4, you know, and before I leave for the day, and it'll take me right there. It's been beautiful.
Let me talk about GPS right off the bat, because I think this is one of the things with the phone I was impressed with the most. And so when I first enabled the maps, it's called Nokia Drive is the application that's on here.
Who backs
it? Say that again?
Who backs it? Is it a
I think it's Navtech.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's Navtech. I'd have to double check. Uh-huh. And actually, the way I got this phone is I was at an Oracle conference, and I ran into a Navtech guy, and through a friend, mutual friend, and he pulled out his phone, and it was a Windows phone. He turned it on, and I immediately recognized it, and I went, "Dude, you got a Windows phone in the wild!" And he was kind of impressed that I made a big deal about it. And so I'm like, can I, you know, he's like, you know, we do all the maps and the support for this. And so I said, can I see it? So I was messing around with it. And he said, one of the other, my friend of mine said, hey, this guy's a blogger and a podcast, so you got to see if you can get him a phone. And he's like, they're really hard to get. And so it took him a week or two, but eventually I got a confirmation email from Nokia, and they said, hey, we're sending you an eval phone. And they ship it. They do a nice job. They do a lot of this, right? So they ship all, I have all the shipping materials to ship it back. Included in the bag, so it's all ready to go when it comes back. But when I turned the phone on and I went to Nokia Drive, the thing I was most impressed with is that it first said, "Hey, you can download a set of maps to the phone," and so I thought, "Oh, okay." So I downloaded the state of Nebraska, about a 40 meg file to download.
Oh.
And my assumption is then at that point all the maps I need that are most up to date at this point are there. And the problem I have on the Android phone is if I don't have cell service, it's so dependent upon the cell service to get the maps that if you go out of range, your maps are pretty generic and crappy. And so it was kind of a different way of looking at navigation. The other thing with the Android, at least my Android phone, is if I don't have cell service, it won't even let you into the maps to begin with. I mean, it won't do navigation very well without the cell service. And this worked regardless of whether I had the SIM card in or I had wireless or anything. I jumped out. I did I did the maps all the way across town, messed around with it, and it worked just great. Has that been? Is that the way? How's it work on your guys' phone?
Bing's been I think Cell. Chris, you could probably confirm is Cell based, but we could easily download an app that's a Navtech. There's a couple of them in there, but you pay the monthly fee with the Navtech, I think, for us.
So I've played with Bing for a while, and for the most part, I like it. The turn-by-turn feature of the built-in Bing application is a little wonky. Like, it doesn't follow you. You have to kind of, like, flick forward to the next thing, which I think is because of some ridiculous Apple patent that they're required to do that. When I used to have an iPhone, I really liked and actually, I had a standalone GPS built by Navigon before. And Navigon makes a fantastic Windows Phone app. That does the same thing, Jim, where you can download individual states, so it's all offline, which to me is huge. There's times when, even just in Missouri, I'll be driving in an area where there's absolutely no cell service, and if I was just on the standard maps, I wouldn't be able to know where I was, but with the Navigon, it has all of the detailed information of the roads I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, and this has all the maps. This is global. I mean, if you just saw me go through it, and I know here, let me click to it on the big screen so folks can see it there. The resolution isn't great, and so you won't be able to read it actually as you're watching this here. But these are just all 50 states that are available. But
right.
if I go back, it's got, this is the Americas, and so it's got every country in the Americas. And then if I go back again, it's got, you know, all the, it's got Asia and Europe and
yeah, and you're also not downloading the entire continent when you don't need all that space filled up on your phone. You say,
right.
Well, I'm taking a trip to Florida or I'm taking a trip to Louisiana. You can just go ahead and put in the states that you want, which I think is pretty handy.
In this case, I'm going to choose, you know, Americas, and then I'm going to go to the United States. And then I had downloaded both Nebraska and Iowa. Those are the two states that are closest. But if I wanted to get Kansas, and I just installed Kentucky. But you can see here, and I don't think it'll matter. So kind of a nice feature. Not necessarily that was not the experience on my Android phone, but kind of a nice, and it worked without the service.
That's definitely something. Oh, go ahead.
All that said, can you get Google Maps on there if you want?
Yes.
But it's through the web.
Right, you'd need cell service.
Yeah, in that case, yeah, this works without, I mean, this fully functional without any kind of cell service today.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. And it works really well. The turn-by-turn was good. It was not as obnoxious as some of the other ones that I've used in the past. Chris, were you saying otherwise a second ago? Were you saying the turn-by-turn isn't as great?
It sounds like you're using the Nokia program, not the Bing program. There's a Bing Maps that's built in. And there's a couple little quirky things that does in my experience. When I have it linked to my Bluetooth in my car, it does this odd thing where every time it wants to tell me a directional change, it initiates a phone call with my car. So it like picks up a phone call and then it makes this horrible chiming sound, but it's after the direction was stated, because by the time the phone call is initiated, it's missed that first point. So it just goes ta-ta-ta-tung and makes this horrible noise, and I have no idea what it meant. And I like look down at my phone. I'm like, oh, I guess you wanted me to turn like a block ago. So the Bing Maps from that standpoint are a little strange. I think partly it's because a little bit frustratingly, the Microsoft Sync or Ford Sync that's in my car is not seamless with the phone. There are things that it doesn't get the phone, and the phone doesn't get the car. For the most part, phone calls work. For the most part, playing back audio works. But there are some strange behaviors in the way that it interacts with my phone, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, and as far as that, the Google Maps thing, that's web-based. It doesn't put it in the app form, you know, where he was talking about the turn-by-turn.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see that in the when you go to the Explorer to see the Bing or Google. Sorry, Google Maps is what I meant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would imagine with both Bing and Google Maps, you're going to need connectivity all the time to make that work. Where in this Nokia Drive, you really have the ability to kind of set it up in advance and download the states or the locations that you need. And then that really kind of protects you against offline, you know, navigation. The turn-by-turn was dynamite with it. It was right on. Again, I have no... It's GPS only at that point.
Yeah.
And it was nailing it. It wanted me to turn around, and it was like, turn around at 200 feet. You should be turning around now. It's kind of the, you know, the progression. And then
I think with that, it's very similar to the true GPS, navigation, which is GPS, but where we're having to use cell towers and...
Right.
Yeah,
this acts more like a GPS device, you know, a TomTom or a...
The Navigon does the same thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. In that. So pretty impressed with that. That worked out really well. It adjusted also. It was trying to get me to turn around, and I kind of forced it not to, you know, I just kept going straight. And then it adjusted very, very quickly. You know, typically on some of the devices I've used in the past, it says recalculating, and it spends some time figuring some stuff out. It was almost an instantaneous switchover for me. As soon as it said, oh, you're not going to go this way, you're going to go another way, bam, it just switched over. The maps changed, and it had me headed in the direction that I was going in. So that part worked really well. One of the cool things that I liked about this, too, is in the settings here. I'm in the settings right now. Let me flip back over so folks can see this. So I'm in the settings right now. Sorry, it's kind of blurry. But if you go to the map colors, I can actually change it. So you can see the night colors when the screen is too bright. If I was on day... So if I just switch it over to night, you can kind of force it onto either day or night view.
And I know the Navigon, and I don't know about others, but the Navigon does that just based on time of day. It kind of knows when sunset is supposed to be, and it adjusts for you automatically.
Case, it was nice because I needed it to be the dark screen so it would show up on the camera, because the light screen is just too bright when it's up there.
There's a feature that maybe not a lot of people play with that's related to that GPS, is if you lose your phone and it's like a phone search. I believe it's under settings and find my phone.
Mm-hmm.
That is flipping cool. It literally will zoom in to the point where it would put me directly in front of my house. I know that house has my phone in it. So if you lose it or somebody steals it, you literally can drive to the front of that house that it's sitting in if you had another one or a laptop to do the search on.
To track it down.
Yeah, and you can also literally from live turn off the phone's functions, its abilities, wipe it. I mean, it's pretty darn
good. Do you leave your phone in other people's houses a lot?
No, but you know, I mean, the example was I was sitting in my house with it, and I go on to the live.com, and I would find my, and of course I've linked it with my live account, So I go look it up, and literally it's showing the GPS signal sitting in front of my house. It's amazing that, you know.
One of the other features that it also sports here is there's a speed limit alert that you can see right here.
I think Jim could use that one.
And so
you should have that on all the time.
Open
the
highway.
If you've been listening to the podcast at all, I was clocked at 75 and a 55 in Kentucky just a couple weeks ago when I was there. And so speed limit alert, the phone. Right now the alert is on. And so if I was driving and I was going too fast for the posted speed limit, as it has it in the database.
You think your phone will ever give you a ticket? Like, if your insurance company just gives you the option to, like, well, we'll keep your insurance low if you say you'll follow the rules, but your phone has the option to, like, penalize you for going too fast. Like,
I bet you they do something like that where they give you a discount if you'll let them hook into your phone. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that's already happening.
The driver thing, right? Where they monitor the teen drivers, and I think even adult drivers, where you plug something into your cigarette adapter for like a week and it watches how you drive, and then they base your insurance based on that, cuz people think like, "Oh, I'll just drive really well for a week." But bad drivers are bad drivers.
Yep.
And I think it figures that part out. So,
cops are already taking your phones and searching for them without a warrant and everything like that already.
Yeah, well,
I know that's for another show.
Yeah, that is. Well, so that's the navigation. I'm pretty impressed by it. It worked pretty well. That's the navigation is proprietary to the Nokia phones at this point, and called Nokia Drive. Any other thoughts on that, on navigation, before I cover something else?
No, one thing I noticed as you're flipping through that, it seemed pretty responsive, even with just the single core, processor.
Yeah, if I just take a peek at that, so I just hit that, and it pops into Nokia Drive, and then it there's the maps right there. It's ready to go. It's already found its GPS, and it's very responsive. It's something I've been hit the. You know, there's three keys, right? Back, Windows, and Search, and I do find that the Android phone has four, right? Mm-hmm. And I do find this a lot simpler to use. You know, it's either back or I'm hitting the window screen to it. And you can also see the live tiles, right? So you can see the photos.
Are you saying four buttons is too confusing for you, Jim?
No, I'm just saying three is less than four. That's what I said.
And three is kind of what you need. My understanding is that Android is moving towards that, and like the menu button is going away in the future, because they've seen the same thing, that it creates more confusion and app disparity than you would want from a phone.
Yeah, I would disagree. So get off my back, my car.
I'm fine with four.
When you talked about responsiveness, I'm going to say in the last, since I've had a year and a half, I think I've had it freeze up twice, maybe.
That's good.
And that, to me, is a big one. Nothing worse than trying to make an emergency call or something and your phone not doing what it's supposed to do. So
yeah, it hasn't locked up yet, and I've only had it a day. But and I've actually already done a factory reset on it once. So okay. I put a bunch of information in, and then I was talking with Rich O'Neill. And what did I do? Oh, I put my Windows Live ID in as incorrect. So instead of my address at live.com, I put my address at yahoo.com, and I do have a Windows Live ID associated with my Yahoo address. Don't ask me how I did that, just it is. So things weren't coming in like I expected from my my Live account, right? Because I wasn't using the one I use all the time, and I thought, why isn't this working right? So I was talking to Rich about it, and I said, oh, it's associated with my Yahoo account. So I'm like, fine, I'll just delete my Windows Live account and reestablish it. Well, with Windows Phone 7, your primary Live account, once it's in, it's in. And there's, from my understanding, there's no way to change that if it's the first one you set up and established. You have to do a factory reset. It will not let you delete the primary account that's in there. So something kind of to know, don't mess up the first time you go to make sure. Yeah. So, but doing a factory reset wasn't difficult at all. You just go to Settings and About, and then there's a factory reset button. You just select that, and it says, are you sure you want to wipe everything out? And you say yes, and 5 minutes later, it's back to the factory. And I went in and put my correct ID in there, and it worked great.
Link your SkyDrive, of course, to your you know, on your phone to your SkyDrive, and you know, so all those pictures will get automatically uploaded there. So then you go doing that reset, everything comes back. I mean, all your emails, your pictures, you know, that were up there, I don't know if they sync back down.
Yeah, but they actually did resync, because I went out and took about a handful of pictures, and then factory reset the phone, and then they came back.
Oh, that's cool.
To me, that's one of the best experiences when you start on the Windows Phone, is that you log into your Live, Twitter, and Facebook, and at just in minutes, you watch everything fill in, and all of your pictures are there, and all of your contacts are there. It did take me a little while to go, because I have a pretty large contact list. It took me a little while to go through, and for the most part, it links the right accounts together. But I had somewhere, you know, for some of my cousins, instead of saying, I would have Katie, Catherine, you know, a couple different versions of the name, and it was like, well, we're not sure these are the same person. And then you can go and link those. And once they're linked, it's great, because they call you, they text you, they post on your wall, anything, and it comes up under that same user account.
Yeah, like you're saying, like with like you have a Facebook for one family member, but you might have a Live contact for them. Well, you may have not have their cell in your Live one, but they have it on their Facebook. And once you put those two, all those combo, you know, all those numbers are there, and
yeah,
it's just wow. It's
yeah, I haven't even messed with the People Hub yet all that much.
Jim, that's where it is.
No, I know.
You're not calling anyone. Honestly, that's why it's probably not initially as apparent to you why you'd use that. Because you do. I end up calling and texting people a lot from within the People Hub. But the two things I was going to tell you as a new user, you've got to make groups, okay? So you want to make family groups, work groups, you know, podcast groups. Like, you want to make those groups so you can just see everybody there and interact with them all at once. And the other thing is pinning. So you want to either pin the group, so pin your family group to the front. And yeah, now you're sliding by there. You can see that you've got your latest news, and that's from all of your sources. That's from Facebook, that's from Twitter, that's from text, that's from everything. And then your most recent people. But pinning contacts out to your desktop, including yourself. I think it's important to pin yourself.
Yeah.
On the main
I leave mine there. Yeah.
Which sounds stupid, but you pin yourself because then it says, oh, you have updates. You have new things. You can check in. You can post what you're doing. Rather than going to each of those applications, you just go to yourself and post an update, and it'll post out to all of your different services in one quick motion.
Because you can post yourself and link yourself to the accounts that you wanted to update. So sad here. I'm looking at, you know, I'm on HTC's website, and I can look under T-Mobile, and I have the radar. I go to AT&T, and they've got like six phones. I'm like, yeah. I'm going to leave AT&T.
All right, Chris, so this is here. You can't see it, but I'm going to pin
it
this.
Up. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to pin this to the start. So
yeah.
I just – now, that's different. So that's my there's a picture of me. You can see, right?
Well, so that's yourself in the People Hub. What you probably pinned at the bottom is a different account that you didn't link together. So it's not – it's not necessarily realizing that Jim Collison and me are the same person.
Okay.
So the little link there, the little chain links, just go back in there. So if you go back into your Jim Collison, and it'll say, because Jim Collison could be your dad. It could be your son, right?
There
so
you go.
Click on link, and it's like, is it this guy? Is it this, you know, is it this person? Or you can choose a contact and say me, you know, that this is me. And I don't know where you find me now that you're looking for it.
You go under me and link somebody else to it.
That's probably the way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. You go back to your account and you link it in. So you go to the home button, click on your own face. It is a little funny to have your face popping up at you on your own phone, but you get used to it. And now, let's see. Well, we have to play with that a little bit. But yeah, you try to link all of your accounts together, and it's probably because you have Jim Collison set a little differently, or it's a different email address somewhere.
It probably is. It's probably my Gallup account or something like that.
Right.
That's in there. I didn't, you know, Chris, as we were talking about like the notifications section that's right there.
Yeah.
And then my different social streams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the letters are too small for me, and I don't like having all my Facebook, all Twitter, because I immediately put Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn in there. And tied all those accounts together. I don't find those as helpful. At least this is just me, but I don't find it as helpful as the individual apps.
I disagree. I personally, but again, I'm not nearly as big of a Twitter user as you are, and I know Twitter can just be a giant vomitus of data all at once. But I use that very little, and then I use a lot of Facebook, and I use a lot of email and text and things like that. And that, to me, is where it's beneficial, is that most of the things are Facebook, and then there's an occasional tweet thrown in there.
And here's, you've got the, here's Twitter, the Twitter app. Yeah, and it just, I find it easier. It just, for me personally, I just find it easier to read.
Now, I do occasionally go in there. You know, if I'm looking through and I'm like, if I want more stuff out of Twitter, it's not every tweet. The What's New section doesn't show you every tweet. It show, it kind of tries to figure out what you might be most interested in. It's just kind of a quick skimming. If I miss 85%, 90% of the tweets that come my way, I'm fine with that. I'm not looking to get all of them. I'm just interested in one every once in a while.
Or the ones, or the people that you're really interested in communicating through it, you know, you link it as the email.
Yeah.
So you get them, like, you know, anything Jim shoots me, you know, does come in an email. I think a couple other people, you know, DMZ, I've got them, anything they do, I get it in an email.
Staying on the pinning topic for just a second longer, the other thing that I've found really helpful is most of your weather apps, you can pin individual cities. So if you know you're going on a trip, you can pin your home, you can pin the place you're going, so you can see the weather in different places. And I use that a lot when I was interviewing for my fellowship. I could go to a new city and say, oh, yeah, I want to know the weather here, but I'm not going to use that for long. So when I get home, I'm going to drop this off. And have that off of my start screen.
But it was active.
It's active. It's live updating. It's everything I need. And I never went into the app. You know, I never really looked into it. I could see the weather, what was coming up. And then pinning stuff from within Office. So particularly, I started to use OneNote a lot more. Pinning a OneNote notebook is phenomenal because you're not digging through all of your different documents to find it. It's just sitting there waiting. You can add notes. You can make changes. You can, you know, I have a lot of data in my OneNote for things in the clinic that I need to look up quickly, and it's all in one place, which is really nice. So finding the apps that have something you can pin out from is really great. And if there's something you're using where you're like, gosh, I really wish I could quickly get to this musician, you know, on my playlist, you can pin that musician or an album or a song to your desktop, and then people can come back out and say, yeah, I want to play this new CD I just got. It's sitting right there on the bottom. And if once you're done with it in a week or two, you just drop it back off again. And that's really useful.
One of the things you just saw me do was so I have the AccuWeather app on there, and I just selected that, and it I enabled it to just come off the GPS. So it said, hey, find the weather for what's closest.
Right.
And then I came over into the settings, and I just turned the live tile on. Oh, now it's a little not quite as responsive as – and maybe it's just the way I'm touching it. But and I just turned the live tile on right there. So I turned it on and then went back to it, and you can see that enabled the live tile right there. Now for and it's going to show my local and I imagine if I change to a different location, it would automatically update the weather.
Well, and but you can also add an additional city and then pin that city. So if you knew that you were coming to visit me in St. Louis, you could pin St. Louis to your task, and then when you're on your way in, you just flip to the bottom and be like, oh, I see that it's, you know, there's tornadoes hitting St. Louis. I'll probably visit Chris another time. You know, you can you can flip through and do that.
Which is very possible.
Pretty easily. So that's definitely a nice way of going about things. So it's not just apps. I think that's what's important, is that the tiles are not just apps that get you into things. They're the information that you want, whether it's at the very front of an application or deep down into it, it's the thing you want sitting right in front of you, or the person you want. So, you know, I can certainly see for a family, you could pin each of your family members individually or as a group and say, you know, yeah, I want to know when my son just tweeted or when he just, you know, sent me a text. It's all in one string of information. And I
under
can
their name,
him,
yeah.
Yeah, under their name. And it's going to throw up their latest contact picture. So, you know, when he gets a big tattoo on his forehead, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, what is this? You're going to see it right away. So, but anyway, no, lots of ways to make
it. Is there a folder structure you can create? I mean, can you put these inside?
Or?
Yeah, no. So with these live tiles here, say I have five weather apps that I follow. Can I put all of those inside, you know, like...
That's,
you know,
more likely to be a Windows Phone 8 feature, because when they're showing a lot of the Metro style for Windows 8, they're showing these tiles within groupings. And I suspect that may be an option. What I think they'll do is, rather than just having one screen of live tiles, they'll have a couple. So right now you have your live tiles or you have your list of applications. I suspect they're going to do a couple other live tile screens so that you could have all things for weather, all things for work, like that. So that's the direction I'm imagining they're going to go. But no, you cannot do that currently.
Well.
That was something I just did on an Android phone. I had a bunch of cloud backup services. You know, they've all seemed to have come out recently. And I thought, I'm going to group these all together into one so I can just go to one. I can hit one, and it'll open them all. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, that's
okay. Let me tell you another thing I was super impressed with on this is that the camera works, and the camera works really, really well. So I actually just grabbed the phone, and for this I'm gonna pull it up here and show you up here. So it's got three buttons or four buttons on the side: up and down, volume, power, and then the camera, right? And so let me turn this around. So the phone is off. Phone is off, and I want to take a picture. I push the camera button. It should just click right into that. Now press it down hard.
So I know you have to press a little harder.
Yeah, there we go. So just press that down once, and it automatically goes right to the camera.
Mm-hmm. And that's a feature you can turn off and on as well. So you can don't actually turn it on in your pocket.
And the iOS copied blatantly. So
iOS copies a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and then in this case, the picture. So yeah, I've got my finger on the picture button, and I can take. It's hard to do it that way, but you saw when I pushed it, it just took a picture. It didn't wait and stutter and delay.
Yeah.
Now you can. It does have an autofocus feature, which you push it halfway. Some square. You can tap
on an area to autofocus in the area.
I don't think. Yeah.
And then Jim, you also see that you've got the little sliver of the picture to the side. Have you noticed that yet?
No.
See the little sliver to the left. As soon as you're done taking it, you can slide back and see what you just took. Okay. Well, your thumb. Right. But then you can slide back to the right, like you're still in a continuum of pictures. Okay, go back to the side, and then your live camera is right back.
Oh, that's very nice.
Bouncing back out to the camera, bouncing into your camera roll.
Yeah. Also, instead of pushing the camera button to take the picture, when you're back in live camera, you just tap the screen, and it'll take the picture and autofocus. So you get multiple ways of actually using it.
Oh, yeah. I just took another picture of my hand.
which went right to SkyDrive. So.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
you'll never lose it.
But from a point and shoot, I mean, Mike, you and I both have the Android. This is a feature I just hate taking. I don't take pictures on my Android phone because you've got that button that's right here, right? And you kind of, now I don't know about I don't know about the Note, but I don't have a dedicated camera.
No, and a Note is just a big Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
It does not have as far as I know, there's no way to get to it like that. You have to go through an app.
Yeah. Yeah. So from a hardware perspective, now that sounds like, I think that's a Windows phone requirement, right? That's a base requirement that Microsoft puts in on the hardware vendors. That says Chris is taking pictures over there too.
I think that if as more and more people use their phone as a replacement for a point and shoot, that everybody should have a dedicated phone button like that.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's actually one of the things that's very exciting is Nokia has just started talking about this PureView technology. I don't know if you've heard of this yet, but it's like the equivalent of a 40 megapixel sensor. And they showed some demos of the images, and they're just spectacular. You're taking a picture in a stadium and then going across the stadium and seeing the person on the other side. And it's bulky. It's about 2 to 3 times the thickness of a current phone. They're releasing one through with the Symbian operating system, but it's very clear that this is going to be something that they will port over to a Windows phone eventually. So if you're really into cameras on your phone, you might be willing to sacrifice the thickness of the phone to get this really powerful camera built in. So,
and what they're doing, I think, with that is there is a 40 megapixel sensor, but they're downsampling to 8 or 12, something like that.
Wow.
I was going to turn my turn the setting so it won't. I guess it'd be in a battery setting, maybe, so that the screen won't go off. Battery saver, always. Well, I'll have to figure out where that's at. It's a little annoying. It turns off pretty quick when I'm trying to do the demo. It's all shutting off.
Jim, did you check for the latest update on it?
I did. Okay. And it didn't find anything. So it must have shipped with the most recent software.
With the latest, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be interesting. They're talking about in Windows 8 doing away with the Zune desktop software. So it'll be interesting to see how these connect with Windows 8, which is...
Yeah, we have no idea yet. That's a little concerning. So.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we should know soon. I've been hearing rumors of July 1st, July 2nd, just through some feeds I found of people that are actually working over there for the RTM for Windows 8. So we'll see.
Hopefully yeah, but soon. Whether or not that'll include Windows Phone interactivity, we don't know yet. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm sure hoping.
They've searched. On the desktop, you can still install the Zune application on a desktop, on a Windows 8 desktop. Yeah. Well, it's not actually a tile. It's a desktop application. It doesn't have a Metro version, even though it would be a great Metro app. They have not converted that over yet, and apparently they don't plan to. So I'm sure they have that as part of something they're working on. There's no way they can avoid doing that. But
It'll be for sale next to Media Center.
Ouch. Man. Hey, just so I'm not all Pollyannish on this phone, let me talk about a few things I don't like right off at the bat. Okay, on the very top of the phone, you see the headphone jack is in there, and then right next to that is the door that somehow magically opens. I'm still exactly have not figured out how to get it, but it's got this little bubble on it, and behind it is the actual. It's where you put the USB thing into it, and you can see. Ah, there it goes, finally. The door pops up. You push it down a little bit, the door pops up, and then you've got this door that stands up.
So you don't pull it, you push it.
Yeah, yes. You got to get your finger just right in there and push it down, and it opens up. It's not, Chris, it's not as easy as it is.
Is it easier without the case?
No, I didn't find. Okay. And maybe it loosens up over time, but the other thing I don't like about is this door
off.
Sticking out. Yeah, that I'm going to snap that bad boy off.
I don't know that exists. Does that exist on the 900 as well?
I don't know.
Because I've never seen that.
Ours are without, we do.
Yeah. You're just exposed.
It makes a slick little cover, when it's down.
Yeah.
And the SIM card is right next to it. So you're going to pull your SIM card out. It's right next to it. So you open the door, just slide the SIM card over. I might as well just do it. It doesn't really matter.
No, you're right. It's covered on the 900 as well. I'm looking at an image here.
It is better if you just push that down correctly, Chris. So that does pop right open for you. But then, now I got the case on. I could push that over and slide the SIM card right out, and it would the SIM card would come out for me. So that is not, in my opinion, that's not a great design as much as I'd like it to be. So that was one of the things I think I would probably pick on.
Of course, you're also not stuffing your USB port with pocket lint like most of us do. So.
True. As long as it's going to stay on, the Palm Pre had a dust cover that would pop off, and it was held on by a little piece of plastic. And you get 3 months, and then that plastic, that thing would snap off, and it was gone. So the only other real drawback at this point, and again, I've only been using it for a day, is the smaller screen. I mentioned that at the front of the podcast. Going from my Galaxy 2 to this, not quite as drastic as going to the iPhone, and Sarah has an iPhone, so from time to time I have to do stuff for her on the iPhone, and it's just, for me, just absolutely painful.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, oh, I got my little pinky finger, and I'm trying to hit the buttons because they seem so small to me. This is a little bit larger than that, but I'm not.
What is that one?
3.7.
And again, that's the difference in my mind between the 800 and the 900. I don't think I would get an 800, but I would certainly get a 900. And the 900 has the 4.3-inch screen, which is equivalent to what Greg and I are dealing with.
See, and I'm thinking the Titan 2 is my next one, but I'd have to go over to AT&T for that, and that's...
Come on over.
Seriously.
Why not a Nokia? Oh, we lost my... Sorry.
Mike. I'm just real happy with the HTCs, be honest with you. I'll buy this one again, no questions asked.
Okay.
And how often is that you aren't willing to go for an upgrade if you're willing to go for exactly what you got again?
Yeah. Well, I said the same thing about my Android phone. I mean, that Samsung Galaxy S2 is just has been a rock solid machine for me. And I imagine Windows Phone 7 on that. I mean, that's a dual core rock and roll. And the OS is fast. It doesn't need it, right? It doesn't need that.
And that's their big thing. Is like you don't spec out a Windows phone. You're not like, oh, I want a quad core, you know, dual graphics processor thing. It's like, no, you want it to move smoothly and work quickly, and the operating system is streamlined enough that it does that. So yeah, I've never thought like I didn't even look to see does the next Lumia line have a dual core or a quad core. Like that doesn't interest me.
I was thinking screen size. That was all I was thinking.
And screen size and screen technology. You know, at this point, I'm probably like looking for something that's organic LED. You know, AMOLED or Super AMOLED, something along those lines. Just for the crispness of the screen, I would probably stay away from some of the older technologies that still crop up in some of the cheaper phones. So,
yeah. Hey, we're running out of time, but I want to do a quick check on apps because we may come back to this in future podcasts as we train. I want to try and string a few of these together because there's no way to talk about the phone in just an hour. But I wanted to go through a few of the apps that I had downloaded and installed. And first, I want to make a comment that the apps install very quickly. It's much like installing on Windows 8. You know, when you go to the store on Windows 8 and you pick up an app, it installs very, very quickly. Gone are the days of that install shield or whatever that, you know, or it...
Are you sure you want to install?
Just install again. The damn thing.
Jim, the other great experience, if you haven't done it yet, is installing from the marketplace on the website. You find the apps you want on the website, log in with your Live ID, and just say install. And you don't necessarily jump right back to your phone and look right away, but you know, you go back a little while later and you're like, oh, that app's just there. You know, you never thought about it. You just bought it online and it installed in the background.
Yeah, go off to do something else kind of thing, yeah.
Well, on this phone in the marketplace, there's what's called the Nokia Collection, then apps, games, music, and podcasts. And we'll save podcasting for the next show because there's a ton I want to talk about the various pod catching applications and such. But I haven't even tried this Nokia Collection yet, and I was just clicking on it, and it looks like it's got kick this out.
HTC does the same thing. It's a bunch of their proprietary apps, but Nokia is supposed to have a much deeper catalog than HTC.
Yeah, ESPN, CNN. Nokia Drive is there. Nokia Maps, which I assume is just their Maps application that doesn't have the drive.
Driving directions, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Nokia Transit. I'll have to give it a try. That looks like maybe it'll probably... let me click on that. I'll show you how quick this downloads and does it. So I'm going to select that. I'm going to select install.
And allow location.
Allow location finding. Yeah, and that's pretty standard. Mm-hmm. And it's going to do its thing, and now you can see... Right there, it's installing it. That bar is the progress bar. I wish I could get this clearer.
50% is download, and then it does the rest of the installation.
And it's installing, and then that'll come up. And then if I wanted to, do I have to wait for it to completely install before I can pin it?
You can jump out and go anywhere else you want.
But can I pin it at this point?
Hold down on it. See what happens. Just hold down on it. I don't think you can yet.
Yep.
Okay, sure enough. So even though it's not even done installing. It won't let you quite.
It's grayed
out.
Yeah, it's grayed out.
Which makes sense, because how often do you need to be pinning something you've haven't even...
You know, talking about some of the apps, that their list has grown just to the point where it is kind of unruly. It's like, you know, iPhone and that sort of thing. So you kind of got to go in knowing what you want. But one of the few that I liked was Windows Home Server Connector.
For 2011.
For 2011, fantastic. Yeah. And then, you can, of course, create your own tile and link directly to your home server at home. And I was just bringing up mine for the... Can you see the sign-in on it?
Yeah, what's your password there?
Well, that's not in there, but...
All right.
It's the screen's a little too bright, but when I pinned that transit to the... What do you call it? Pin it to the...
Desktop.
Do they call it a desktop?
No, it's not really a desktop, but you just pin it to your start screen, maybe.
Start screen.
There you go.
And then it says, we're sorry, we don't have the transit information for Bellevue, Nebraska, which is where I live, but yeah. we're adding new cities all the time.
Yeah, so probably if you live in New York, Chicago, L.A., you know, that stuff's all in there.
Yep, and it attempts to find an address for me, and then I guess I'm supposed to do something with it. But
yeah, do you want to run a list of favorite apps, or do you have other stuff you want to hit, Jim?
Well, let me quick just say what I've thrown in there, and then you guys can come back around with what your favorites have been. So I installed AccuWeather. You saw that there. I did, and we'll talk about this next time. I installed DriveCast, which was a really good pod. At least, again, I'm only using it for a couple hours, but I'm liking it so far as a podcatcher or an application to listen to podcasts on. I did Nokia Maps. I did Pando Radio, which I think is Pandora, right? It's the same. It's a different name, but it found
authorized. It's not authorized by Pandora. Pandora's actually been pretty aggressive in fighting some of these, but there's an API, and they're letting it happen. So.
Yeah, and Pando works just like it looks like the Metro UI, or it looks like the phone UI, and it discovered all my playlists. I tried Podcasts Pro, which I didn't like as much. I installed SkyDrive, Skype, and Twitter. And Skype is very usable on the phone. And I would go to the Twitter app as opposed to trying to get tweets within that stream. I just have too many. The problem is my tweet stream just pollutes everything else, Chris.
Yeah.
So in the native app, it's just a mess. And so in my case, I prefer to either go to Facebook directly, or I go to, and I think I installed the Facebook app too, maybe before I reset it and I need to install it.
Well, you brought up something just now by saying Skype. Is your camera on the front with your screen?
No. So
not on
it's,
the 800.
It's audio only. Yeah.
The 900 has it. But.
Okay.
And I didn't try an audio call yet either on that. But it looks and works pretty well. Skype does. You can see it pop in there. And that's just became available, right?
Yeah. I never thought to try just the voice. I was, I put the camera on there and was playing with it. But
oh, yeah, the voice works fine.
Okay.
The biggest downside, which is they've been pretty roundly criticized for this, is that this is one of the few apps that does not run in the background.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, like many apps, it does not run in the background. And so you can't just have Skype calls come in. You can't set yourself as online or offline and let people contact you, which is kind of ridiculous considering that Microsoft owns Skype and that Skype is a phone application that should be on the phone. But they're going to correct that in the future. The speculation I've heard from most people is that they're working on the Windows Phone 7 portion, but that the Windows Phone 8 is going to have it much better integrated, and it will actually be a core function. And so they're just not putting a ton of time and effort into the Windows 7 version right now. So it does some things, but it's certainly not a full-featured app.
It's not too terrible. All right, Chris, some favorite apps of yours?
Yeah, so as far as weather goes, I actually like this app called Amazing Weather. It just looks a little different, and I kind of like the layout a little better. Let's see, Navigon I already mentioned. I use that a fair amount. My favorite game is Geo Defense. Be careful not to sink way too many hours into this. And they just came out with a sequel called Geo Defense Swarm. They're tower defense games. And you can waste a ton of time on that. another one I'm using is there's a site called Livestrong. It's the Lance Armstrong thing where they let you do calorie intake and expenditure from fitness. And actually, they've done a very nice job on their Metro style app. For tracking your calories and your exercise. So I use that on a pretty regular basis, and it really does help keep me focused. Let's see, other big ones, Feed Reader. I follow a number of RSS feeds, and it allows me to access my Google Reader account. And so I use Feed Reader pretty regularly. Let me quickly scan through here. What else do I have on my list that I would recommend? There's, if you want another Pandora client, there's one that gets a little higher review, is WP Fandora. It's a stupid name, but it seems to work really well also, and it does some nice things where when you turn the phone sideways, it kind of gives you a different view of the of what you're listening to. So, but honestly, the apps I probably use less than all the built-in stuff, the hubs and picture and people, and the hubs are where I spend most of my time on the phone.
Okay, yeah. You've mentioned that before, and I'll have to try that more this week as I use it. You know, I'm kind of excited about taking the week to use the phone and learn some more things about it. Greg, what are your favorite apps?
Like I stated, the 2011 home server apps, and you can see who, you know, which one of your PCs is online and that sort of thing. That one works pretty good. Let's see, I've got eBay and Newegg on there.
So they have dedicated apps as well?
So does Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have the Amazon one as well.
Is there an Amazon MP3 if you have the Amazon Music service? Is there an app for that?
That I'm aware of.
No, okay. I've only done the shopping part, which is nice. They have a barcode scanner, so you scan anything sitting in your house, and while you're in the Amazon app, and it'll bring it right up, and you can see what it's going
and
for.
Jim, do spend time hitting the magnifying glass button, because the searching is a little more detailed than you think. Like, you can search for a specific place, you can search for a barcode. It's a pretty nice.
Yeah, they're really.
You're talking about this.
The hard one
right here, right?
Yep. Yeah. So when you click that, it brings up kind of the Bing picture of the day. But there's sort of a what's the app, Shazam? There's a Shazam button where you can click on the music thing on the bottom, more or less. There's a local area. There's a picture, and then there's so you can say your search with the microphone, but then whatever you search for. You can slide from left to right, and it will change what you're looking for, whether you're looking for a web search, a picture search, a people search, a local search. Yeah. All of that's built in, and that's kind of nice.
That's pretty powerful. There's a few things in there we should talk about maybe the next time the whole integration on Bing.
Yeah, that is its own subject.
it really is. And maybe we'll cover podcasts and listening to podcasts or music and this idea of integrated search on Bing.
I love to get that. Now, one you guys also both might like is the Dropbox. It's called Drop Files for Dropbox. Yeah. They've also integrated SkyDrive into it, so now you can see your Dropbox files and your SkyDrive files all in there. Hmm. That one works pretty good. And then another one I like that's tied to that is called Drop Notes. So you bring it up like Windows Note, and you just type in there, and it immediately sends it to Dropbox for you, and I get home and I'm sitting at my PC and I see it's already synced my note for the day, pick up milk or whatever. So it's pretty cool.
Now, why not Dropbox? Why does it have to be named something different? Is it because Dropbox didn't create it? Somebody else?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's not theirs. But they did a really good job integrating with it.
And that's actually been one theme that, again, this is another topic, but for apps, that there's a number of the number is shrinking, but there are a number of big name companies and websites and apps that have not made an official app yet, and other people in the community are starting to make them because it's like, hey, get with it. There's enough of us out here. You should be making an app. Like Pandora is a good example. And so Pandora's mad that people are making this, but at the same time, it's like you've got, at this point, millions of users that are looking for this type of interactivity, and it's just not there.
Yeah.
Barnes and Noble, they'll get on it. Yeah. Barnes and Noble is one. Mint is another one. There's a really good financial management site called Mint that has tons and tons of users, and they have an official complaint section or a frequently asked question section that has literally thousands of responses, people saying, hey, we want this app, and they're like, oh yeah, we think that's interesting, we'll work on it one day, and just nothing.
Yeah.
I got another good one for you. I'm a big Crash Fan user on the server, and so there's a Crash Plan app, and that thing works beautiful. Yeah. It works fantastic. Literally, you tap on it, it says, okay, we just updated you 3 minutes ago, you're at 47% or something, And yeah, that one's a beauty.
Nice.
And then we use Netflix. Netflix. Been using that one, no problem. Netflix does, what it does on the PC. It sees that you're not getting, 4G or whatever, so it drops the signal to 3G. Okay, you're not getting 3G. We're going to drop you to Edge. So it does what it needs to do to stream you that movie. And I tell you what, that saved many a dinner with me and our 5-year-old, me and the wife can actually talk. We put her with the phone, and she sits there and watches, Care Bears or whatever, and works out well. So that's definitely another one. But that's the big ones.
It did seem like, I think I have 16 gig of RAM or 16 gig of memory on this phone. I think that's the base that it comes with. And it does seem like it wants to use that with a couple of the applications, with the with one of the podcasting applications or music applications, it was really easy to get it downloaded to the phone as well. I mean, it was they didn't shy away from you want to fill up the memory on your phone.
Well, there's a slider on there too, so you can designate how much you want to maintain for phone and then how much for media. There's like a slider. You can tell it, hey, of the 100% of what I have, let's I wish I could bring it up or remember exactly where it's at.
No sweat.
Settings.
You know, it'll do. Yeah.
We're going to spend some time, guys. If you will think about maybe next weekend, we'll put another one of these together and think about some things that we'll get Martis in here as well. He came but got here a little late, so we'll bring in Mike. Of course, he's been a Windows Phone user for a long time. He's got some opinions on that. One of the things I'm thinking about as well is grouping of popular apps for things that maybe, like we talked about Pandora, that doesn't have an app. So what is the community doing to get around it, right?
Yeah.
What are some apps that have popped up, and maybe we could think about some of the best ones. I'll do some more digging in on the Nokia side. I do want to see where this Nokia separates itself from the Windows 7 phone pack, and also I probably need to do some reading on where we think Nokia. Of course, they've got that partnership with Microsoft, and probably have most favored nation status with them. And wondering kind of what's coming with that, and maybe what separates them from the rest. So
I may or may not be in with you next week, but because I'll be at a graduation in Guymon, Oklahoma, so we'll see.
Well, what I'm hoping to do is just put some quick ad hoc podcasts together, and I'll let folks know if you're listening to this podcast and you're a Windows Phone user, and you'd like to jump in and talk about it. You got a headset and a mic. I'm kind of interested in throwing. It doesn't have to be the same guys all the time. Getting folks experience. If you currently have a Nokia phone or a Nokia, I guess is the right way to pronounce it. if you currently have a Lumia or one of those phones and you'd like to talk about it, I'd love to have you on the podcast. Just shoot me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. And if you need to have a good camera and a good mic to come in, but don't let that stop you. We can figure out a way to get you in. I'd love to have you on the show. And I'll do these just as long as Nokia will let me hold on to the phone, and we'll get some, instead of doing written reviews, we'll just do some posts. And guys, be thinking about maybe some other stuff. Greg, if next weekend doesn't work, maybe we can get something on an evening or something like that. We'll do some follow-up on it as well. But I want to say thanks to both you guys. Chris, did you have anything? You look like you have maybe one more thing to add.
Well, I just wanted to make sure we didn't forget to mention Spaceballs, the soundboard.
Now you see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
There you go.
That's a very important app. So I'm sure. Well, Chris and Greg, appreciate you coming in
and being willing
to do this on 24 hours notice. I got the phone and I thought I just got to get this done, and I put some stuff out on Google+ and sent you guys emails and you responded. Thanks to Mike Howard, who was in earlier. He had to step out and had to leave. But Mike, thanks for joining us as well. We got to figure out a way to get Tim Black or Vinyl Freak in here as well. I know he's got some good things to say, and we'll have to.
One more item. Yeah, join the Seton beta for the Windows Phone.
Oh yeah,
I'm in there too.
Yeah, so we have something to report. The 25th is when they're going to release it to us. So that's just a week away. So we will have some updates for you.
We got to make sure we're allowed to talk about it. So.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you better check on that. You better check.
Yeah, check the EULA on that. You're a good point. We'll be working with it. We might not be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
Super secret.
Well, stay tuned here at theaverageguy.tv. We'll be doing some video podcasts around Windows Phone 7. We've got plenty of material to cover. And so if you have any questions, shoot me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Guys, thanks again, and this will wrap up the first podcast, and we'll try and crank out a couple more in the process. Everybody have a great afternoon.
Cool, guys. Take care.